This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine. Welcome back to Wine and Dine in LA with Anush. My guest today is Robert Camuto, prize-winning American author and journalist. He has written a beautiful book. Well, one of his books, latest books, is called South of Somewhere, Wine, Food, and Soul of Italy. Thank you, Robert, so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Are you, I didn't ask you, you arrived today. How are you doing? Are you jet-lagged or...
No, I'm doing fine. I arrived last night late and I took from home in Italy. I took two trains and two planes.
Wow, that's a long, that is a long trip.
And I slept in each leg. So that's
cool. That's perfect. That's wonderful. All right. So today is the International Women's Day. It's a beautiful, I think, holiday to celebrate women, their accomplishments, and particularly, you know, for me, I'm in the wine, so women in wine are even more inspirational. Reading your book, through your book, there were, all the women were amazing, but one particular character, and she's not a character, she's a real person.
Yes.
Her name is Carmela. Is she that her husband gifted her a winery?
Oh, Marissa Como.
Marissa, yes.
Marissa Como.
Yeah. So I was reading that and I'm thinking, how do you feel about getting a winery as a gift?
Yes.
And
yes.
It was the part where I read, you know, when you went and met them,
yeah.
And then husband takes you on a tour while the wife is dealing with a crisis in the winery.
Yes, yes.
And then she calls for help and he's annoyed that she's bothering him.
Well, I love what she had said in that book when I said, what kind of gift was this?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it was the kind of gift that... It's like when you give someone a bicycle, you give your child a bicycle, and it's to learn to ride the bike so you don't fall off. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's been doing a great job and, you know, but, you know, I thought that was an interesting perspective of it, you know, and you just keep pedaling.
Yeah. It's very inspirational that she, took it that way, and she keeps making wine. I can't wait to try her wine. And that's one of the things too. When I was reading through your book, I Googled the restaurant and the winemakers, and I'm trying to figure out where I can get some of those wines.
Yes.
And on my next trip to Italy. So the way that you have highlighted the women in the book and talked about them is very inspirational. You know, all these women have been contributing to the winemaking industry today.
Yes. Well, I think it's particularly important. It's particularly important in Italy. It's particularly important in traditional cultures and Southern Italy. And why? Because forever, so many of these, so much agricultural lands pass from father to son. And maybe, for example, the Northern Italy has been more sophisticated, more advanced, et cetera, et cetera. But in every place where you have this transformation of new young energy coming in, I think that women play a particularly key role. And one of the reasons is that men can be sometimes under this weight of, this is the way my grandfather's father did it, the way my grandfather did it, the way my father did it, and so this is the way I do it. And when they try to change something, there can oftentimes be conflict. Whereas I think sometimes women, girls who grow to be women, don't have that same kind of baggage with the men in the family. And maybe it affords them in some way some more freedom to try different things. And maybe they also know the weight of the father's heart and, you know, this kind of things. And they're not necessarily bound by that same male peer pressure of, we have to do these things this way because the men in our village always did things this way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, you know, that's really key. Another woman in the book who I also really enjoyed getting to know, her name is Elena Fucci in Basilicata.
Yep, I had her here too.
Yes, I'm sorry. Did
yeah. you? No, go ahead. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to ask you about her.
And she's a great example of somebody in the deep south of Italy in Basilicata. It's really almost the bottom of the instep of the boot of Italy, a very kind of, you know, forgotten, unpopulated place. Also beautiful because of that fact. And Elena lives in a town called Barile. It's in the Volturi wine area, which was an old spent volcano that had turned into a caldera. There's now a big lake in the middle of it. It's beautiful. But when she was growing up, when she was in high school, her father had said, you know, when if nobody's here to make the wine, we're going to have to sell the place. And by the way, her parents were school teachers, you know, but they kept up the vineyards. Her, she comes from a... actually, an Albanian family. There's many, many, many Alberesh communities in southern Italy that emigrated there from 500 years ago. But anyway, Elena said, oh, that's fine, fine, fine. When I grow up, I'm going to have a very chic life in Milan or Rome. I'm going to travel the world. I don't want to have anything to do with this land and wine. And her father had said, okay, fine. You know, when she was ready to graduate high school, and he said, okay, fine, fine. We're going to sell the property. And then when he actually did put it up for sale, she started getting worried. And she said, well, does this mean that the house has to sell? And he goes, oh, yes, yes, everything. We're just going to sell it all. And that's when she decided she was going to completely change her life. And she realized that she could not let it go. She could not let the house go. She could not let the land go. She changed her mind. She studied oenology in, I believe it was Pisa in Tuscany. And, you know, the rest is history. She became an oenologist, came back home, and little by little started working with the land, working with the vineyards, and building her own wine brand. And this is what's kind of beautiful about this moment now, that you see, like, her grandparents had been sharecroppers, meaning that they didn't even own the land, they worked on it. And her grandfather was only able to afford the land by going off to South America many decades ago, and, you know, working as a gardener, doing, you know, working 24 hours a day, doing different jobs, and came home and was able to buy land. And so that now that, you know, when you think about these places where agriculture was so bleak and it took so much work and there was so much suffering that went into it, that now she can be a landowner, make wine, and also communicate directly with young people of her generation in places like, you know, Los Angeles or New York or, you know, Milan or London or Tokyo. So that is really kind of the beautiful side, I would say, of globalization, that these, that a new generation can really work for excellence, do something of value, and communicate with their, you know, like-minded people who are looking for something different and original around the globe.
Exactly, and particularly for women too, you know, the winemaking, I'm a graduate of a wine school. At the time when I went in Armenia to agricultural school, the wine department had maybe 10% of females, you know, most were male, and it's been like that pretty much all over the world. But when you look at the Armenian wine industry right now, it's very close to the people who are making a difference. I would say about 45% are female, and it's been very and it's been more women are getting into the industry. And so when you hear a story like this, that, you know, she went and studied and she came and she changed the things around, she learned, she's making wine, she's an inspiration. So another woman listening says, oh, maybe I should try it. It's not only for men, you know, women can do it too.
Yes. And another good thing about it too is I think women are really good at asking questions.
Well,
as we all know.
Well, sometimes.
And they're really good at asking, saying, why? Why do you do it this way? Why? Why do you have to do it this way?
That's so funny.
And I think that's really important, especially when you see, for example, the conversion of so many vineyards and agriculture to less chemical intensive ways, to organic, to different ways where women say, okay, why do you have to put all those chemicals? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing it that way?
Yeah.
And I think women also being, you know, maybe
nurturing more.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Are more concerned about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a time when a couple of generations ago where the people who sold chemicals for vineyards were mm-hmm. going around and they were putting some of these, you know, it could be pesticides in a cup of water and then drinking it and saying, mm-hmm. see, there's nothing wrong with this.
Oh my
and,
gosh.
So I think it's really taken that, you know, perspective of women as being nurturing and maybe in some ways looking at nature in a more holistic way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And appreciating, you know, many things that maybe were ignored in the past.
Absolutely. I want to also talk a little bit about the men too in the book, because they were very... there's a Russian word said kolorit'ny, which means that, you know, very bright and very colorful and very, like when, for example, reading the very last chapter, it's your uncle or cousin or a family member, right? He calls
yes.
you. And
my mother's cousin.
Yes.
Actually.
It's just beautiful how much passion and you know, history and charisma, like just reading from the words, you picture this man, and it seems like all of them are. And so I was thinking, it almost reminded me like a movie. Would you consider like making a movie out of your book? And if so, like, what do you see it as a, like, who is the actors and what's going on there? Because there was some mafia too stories. I got a little bit scared. The one part is like you went to one part where there was a lot of mafia related gangs and etc. So it totally is a movie.
Yes, yes. Around Naples, you have the Camorra and different kinds of things like that. Well, I think to make it a movie, we'd have to, it would take some work. Of course, if there were any Camorra or mafia people, we'd have to get Al Pacino.
Okay. It's very it was very like exciting and intriguing to read. So where can our listeners, I'm sure now they're thinking, okay, where we when and how we can get the book, where can they get the book and how they can read it?
Yes, well, you can get the book. It's called South of Somewhere: Wine, Food, and the Soul of Italy. Anywhere you get books, really. If you have a favorite bookstore, you can ask them about it. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it at IndieBound or, you know, wherever you normally buy books.
Mm-hmm. It's widely available. That's wonderful. There was one thing that, one more thing that I giggled really hard. When you went to this restaurant, which has 3 Michelin stars, and obviously you enjoyed the meal, but you said that there was no soul in it as much, or maybe I'm paraphrasing, but to me it was like my dad. Sometimes we would take him to the restaurant, and he was like, "What is this? You know, I want to be at home and eat this hearty meal, which like somebody like his mom made or my mom made, because it's like you eat what you see and you enjoy it. It's a different experience."
Yes. Well, what I said actually in that passage is that I do find many of these high-end gastronomic restaurants to really be almost sad, you know? And look, I mean, there are great, great, great Michelin-starred restaurants, but I think they need to have an attachment to a territory. And I think I was describing that one, Torre Saraceno, which is in Torre Saraceno, which is in Vico Equense, as being something that was able to connect with that territory. And I know that the chef, Gennaro Esposito, who is the chef there, he often says that, you know, to forget is like the worst sin. You know, we have to remember, remember, remember. And so it's a cuisine of memories. And the kind of cuisine that I don't really appreciate is when, you know, this kind of chef of like, I'm going to invent, you know, I'm an artist and I'm going to invent something out of whole fabric, and it has no connection to a place or no connection to a territory. And I think that's what that's what your dad is saying. He has these memories that are tied to his heart, that have touched his heart. And when he sees this food that's presented in such a technically perfect way, it doesn't have that same emotion. And that's what's super important about, you know, I think about both wine and food as conjuring emotion, bringing these emotions out. And you know, the way sometimes wine pairs with food can also be an emotion.
Absolutely.
and you know, sometimes now, like in wine culture, you know, we swirl, we sniff, and we try to judge the wine on its own, but really wine was always meant to go with food, to go with certain dishes, and it creates a kind of an alchemy that's greater than the parts. And you know, it creates a you know, wonderful feeling, you know, with our families, with our friends, and a great way of sharing that's much more satisfying than
That
an experience of,
exciting.
oh, I have the best wine, I'm with the best chef, and you know, that kind of thing.
I actually took that part out. As I have traveled across Italy and particularly the south, I have learned that when we drink wine, about half of what we taste is the wine, and the rest is what we sense, is what we feel while we're drinking it. It's
Absolutely.
so true. As a winemaker myself, when I came here to United States, you know, people would ask me, you know, how would you analyze this wine? And I didn't really understand what that means, because you know, you make the wine and it's different way you analyze, like chemical composition or what. But then I did went into and got my introductory sommelier certification, which now I understand what it means. But to me, it's again, it's more of a experience together, and it's not a science experiment. When you're eating, it needs to work together, you know, this wine, if it goes with the food, that creates, just like you said, an amazing experience for you. And you can be so happy from it, you can even cry because it tastes so good. So I really appreciated that, and I had to take it out of the
Yes.
and make a note for myself.
And I wonder, I have some sommelier friends who claim, I mean, who are like-minded like me, who aren't into just the technical points of tasting, who say, look, I can tell by tasting a wine, what kind of mood that person was in. Were they in a good space? Were they in a bad space? Were they going through a divorce? Were they happy? What kind of person they are? And, you know, maybe that's true. I think there's, you know, there's hundreds of little decisions that winemakers make. And I think you can taste that absolutely. Oftentimes in a wine. And I think, you know, the environment is so important. Like if you're in a setting where, and I always equate this term with the south of Italy, because on that summer in 1968, when I was 10 years old, when I went with my grandmother to her town of Vico Equense, whenever we asked a question as a 10-year-old, you know, can we do this? Can we do that? Can we eat this? Can we eat that? Can we have pizza? Blah, blah, blah. The answer was always, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
And that's what I really love about Southern Italy, that oftentimes it's like, why not?
Yeah.
You know, it's not, well, no, we can't do that. Or, you know, you're asking for that. You know, you're stupid or blah, blah, blah. Nothing like that.
Yeah. It's always, well, life is beautiful. Why not? Why not?
Yeah. Yes. Why not? And so I think that kind of attitude puts everything in the right, you know, perspective for really enjoying food, wine,
and life. And
beauty and life. And yes. Life.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for writing this amazing book. This would be a book for me to gift for upcoming birthdays and Christmases, because you don't really have to be a wine person to read the book. It's a wonderful, easy to read, and you immerse yourself into it, and you just, like I said, you feel like you're in south of Italy. Thank you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your trip.
I will.
Wishing you lots of success and looking forward to chatting with you again.
Okay. And you can check out some of the events where I'll be too at robertcamuto.com.
Yes.
On the whole West Coast tour.
And we will put that, I will put on Instagram as well information. Please follow Robert for everything that's going on. And everybody have a great day, great night.
Thank you.